He's one of the smartest digital marketers in the world. And I don't say that lightly. He works with, or has worked with, rock star coaches, not in Australia. I mean, Greg Kassar, if you want to learn, you'll probably go and see Greg. But for Greg, who he works with, are the best people, the top echelon, the two percenters. He goes over to the States and works with them. So he's a man who knows his stuff. During this year, they had what they call a traffic and conversion summit here in Australia. It was the biggest marketing or digital marketing conference Australia's ever seen. Greg Kassar was asked to be one of the speakers, one of a handful of speakers chosen from Australia to go and talk in front of all those people. I saw Greg go up there and I was nervous for him. It was massive. So that's the sort of caliber of the person we've got here who is spending time with this morning. He presents in a way that's engaging. So he's not just talking at you. He's going to welcome you into his presentation so that you will understand what is happening and how it works, and you feel free to ask questions. All right, so this is really going to be special. We're going to enjoy the morning together. So if you could please stand up and welcome my good mate, Greg Kassar, to the stage.
Thank you. That was a pretty good wrap. I hope I'm not really shit now following on from that. So, yeah, I think Stephen described we've been mates for many years now, and he's just sort of guy we catch up and we share ideas of what's working in business and what's working for us and our teams and all that kind of stuff. So thoroughly enjoy the time we spend together. And I was stoked, you know, that they asked me to come in and share with you guys really what we're doing in our two biggest traffic sources at the moment, so Google and also Facebook. Facebook really is our biggest traffic source, and if we look across our clients, it's pretty much the biggest traffic source for our clients as well. So who is doing Facebook advertising at the moment? Okay, so quite a few, okay, which is, yeah, so as a group, you're punching above your average, you know what I mean, compared to groups that I meet, which is excellent. What about remarketing? So who's doing Facebook remarketing? Anyone got that going? So that might be a good thing, okay, a couple. So that's talking about, and we'll get into that, you know, when people, they hit your website and then they start to see your ads around the place, that kind of thing. Who's seen me speak before? I think a lot of you have seen me speak before. Yeah, cool. So, you know, I'm not a professional speaker as such. I'm just really a bloke who's worked with a lot of businesses, had some good runs on the board. And everything that we teach, none of it's theory. It's all based off real hard, you know, facts and science. We've managed over 5 million in clicks and we've driven over 1.8 million in leads, like 1.8 million leads. So we have access to a lot of data to learn things from. So, and what I'm going to show you, I'm going to teach you with Facebook a whole bunch of things like individual components, and then I'm going to show you at the end how to put that together as like an architecture. So what you could do, like what's working right now and what would position you really, really well for 2016, you know, to do, to do in your business. So let's get stuck into it then. One of the things that we really try and teach and get people to implement is to get perpetual motion going in the business. We meet a lot of business owners who are either doing nothing, you know what I mean, no promotions, or spasmodic, you know, where it's, oh, we did a promotion and then we stopped and we turned it off for a while, and then we did another promotion and we stopped and turned it off for a while. What we try and teach is perpetual motion. Always have some things ticking away. Some of these campaigns I'm going to show you, they don't have to be big. It can be $5 a day, you know, $7 a day, $10 a day, that kind of thing that's just ticking away. But you've got constantly, you know, new leads coming in. You're constantly nurturing people. This isn't always just constantly about selling either. It's about creating relationships, because sometimes people might need multiple touches with you, you know, before they're ready to buy, that kind of stuff. So two big traffic sources in 2015 and 2016. No real surprises there, which is, you know, Google and Facebook, and they do two completely different things. So Google is very much like the, you know, modern version of the Yellow Pages. So people go there, you know, to let their fingers do the walking, so to speak, but Google does it in 0.03 milliseconds as opposed to, does anyone still use the Yellow Pages, the big book? How's that? One, we got one. From a house, I used to live in a, you know, a block of townhouses, And I think everyone who lives in a block of townhouses, you got the old guy who's retired and his whole purpose is telling everyone else what they've got to do in the block of townhouses. So we had one of those guys and he's got this pile of yellow pages and he's saying, Greg, you've got to take it. I'm like, well, why do I got to take it? What am I going to do with that? You know, that kind of thing. And he really struggled to get people to take it. I was talking about houses. This is actually my second appointment of the day because this morning at 7:30, I got off a plane last night. So this week I've been to Perth, Adelaide. I got back from Adelaide last night and then here. But between going from Adelaide to here, this morning we had to go and sign the contracts. You know, we bought a house in Winoona actually, which was pretty cool. But it's a full, we're nicknaming it the Nana House at the moment. It's full, you know, like it's not exactly our decor. But we bought it before it went on the market, so to speak. You know how they were desperate sellers. They wanted to move quickly. We had pre-approved finance. But it all had to happen today. So that's just the way things worked out. So something pretty cool for us. So we spoke about Google, but Facebook is different. So Facebook is more of a disruption media. They're going there just to hang out, and then our advertising, they're not actively searching for something. With our advertising, we've got to catch their attention, and that's why we'll look at things like what we do with the images, etc., you know, to catch their attention. So Google, we're going to use this traffic source to send people to our, you know, products and services pages. So, you know, if you've got a videography service, or if you've got a chiropractic service, or if you fix back pain, you know, you would send Google traffic to those sort of pages. But then, you know, with Facebook, you can send that sort of traffic to, if you're putting out helpful content like blog posts and videos and that kind of stuff, use Facebook traffic to send people to those sort of pages. And also if you've got landing pages, so where you're giving away, I'll give you examples of landing pages of mine later on. If you've got things like what we call lead magnets, so ebooks, reports, video series, that kind of thing. And it's a whole page specifically about giving that away. That's another great thing, you know, to use this type of traffic source for. So let's now get into sort of some fundamentals, and then I'll show you like a campaign, and we'll, you know, build from there. So this is really like a great reason to be on Facebook, you know, which is because there's 1.5 billion other people, you know, and growing. And Facebook really is an artificial intelligence engine. So every time you click like and share, you comment on something, Facebook is gathering more info about you, about, you know, what you're interested in. And yeah, they're basically building a massive, massive big profile, but not just on you, but on everyone else here. But which is great from advertisers like us point of view. And I'll show you powerful ways we can use that data as it goes on. They're not the only ones who are really an artificial intelligence engine and are building really, really big databases of stuff. Google is also really, really smart. Wickedly smart, actually. They're so far in front of everyone else in a lot of ways. Like, who here runs Google Analytics on their website? They got Google Analytics there. So Google Analytics is free software from Google that you can put on your website, and it tracks, you know, what pages of your site are the most popular, what side pages people scroll down on, how long they spend on a page, how long they spend on your website, all that kind of things. The whole world basically thought that, wow, that's Google, so nice. They bought that bit of software for $1 million and then, you know, reworked it a bit and then gave it to the world for free. You know, how nice of them. But Google just knew that even though they couldn't use the data at the time, that if they spread it out across the world, you know, all the websites of the world like a virus, that over time, as for search engine optimization, they'll be able to start gathering that thing. So now they know of your website, you know, these are the three or four main most popular pages that people go to and they scroll down and they spend a lot of time on, so they can determine that they're high quality pages and that kind of stuff. So they're not guessing at anything. It's incredible how smart they are. So this is a great thing about Facebook. You can reach 1.5 billion people, but the real power of it is how granular you can be with your advertising on Facebook. This is really, really what's sexy about it. Previously, before Facebook advertising came out, you could do banner ads and that kind of stuff, but you could say, for example, target people who lived in a certain state or maybe in a city and who are interested in websites on a certain subject. That was basically it. But now, with Facebook advertising, you can get right down to, you know, whether they live in Australia, New South Wales, Wollongong, and within 7Ks around it, you know, that kind of thing, or, you know, just Austinmere and 7Ks around it, that kind of thing. So very, very granular. And you can also, you know, whether they're a male, whether they're a female, even what they're interested in. So, like, we were doing a campaign the other day for, you know, males who are interested in males, you know, that kind of thing, for in the financial services, you know, where they're a dual income, no kids type guys that buy a lot of, you know, investment properties and that kind of thing. And you can also really get into what they're interested in too. So are they interested in, you know, marketing, digital marketing? Are they interested in hairdressing, whatever it is? So you can really, really get that down. And overseas in the US and also the UK, it's much, much more sophisticated again, because Facebook's bought all this what's called big data. So they bought data off credit card companies, banks, insurance companies, that kind of thing. And then they mashed all that data up with their own info. And now in the US, you can also target Facebook advertising to people still exact same as what you did before. They live in this city, they're between that age, they're interested in this. But you can also say, and they earn more than 100 grand a year, and they have a credit card, you know, and a mortgage, that kind of thing. So you can narrow right in. You say, let me just advertise to, you know, buying units pretty much, which is very, very powerful. Another thing that I like about Facebook advertising is if you do a really good job on your content, like on your creative for your ads, you can really make it so that it gets social momentum of its own. People start to like it, share it, comment on it, and that kind of thing. And that's on your advertising. And each time people like, share, comment on it, that kind of thing, it gets more free momentum. It shows up in, you know, more and more people's news feeds, which is, you know, which is really, really cool. When Facebook first started off, their only advertising was on the right-hand side. I don't know if anyone remembers that. And then over time, and there were smaller images and that kind of thing. And then over time, they then put ads in the news feed. And what was really, really a big game changer about that was your ads got clicked on so much more, because if you think about it, when you go to Facebook, you're not really going there to suss out on the right-hand side. You go in there and you just kind of scroll through your news feed. That's basically, you know, how you use Facebook. And so then if you can make your advertising be like interesting content, then all of a sudden you're getting a really high what's called click-through rate, meaning a lot of people are clicking on your ad, and then Facebook rewards you with lower ad costs if more and more people are clicking on it, because they see, you know, this is really, really relevant content. So there's really two main spots you can advertise, which is your news feed and your right hand side, but there's actually, you know, four places. These are like four ad placements. So there's a mobile news feed. So this is for your handheld type devices, but in that news feed, it's the same size ad, but it just sort of shrunk down a little bit, so less text and that kind of thing. But it's based off your, you know, desktop news feed, which I think, you know, you've all seen before. All these ads have the exact same image size anyway, and Facebook just adjusts it. And then we've got the right column ad, so you can see it doesn't have as much text, but it's got the image, sort of like a headline and a little bit of text below. And then the new one, which is Instagram, and Instagram advertising at this point in time that we're doing this today is about 2 months old. And we're only in our early phases of testing it. And early phases, it's not working out amazing as far as, you know, low cost and that kind of stuff. And it's not, from our testing, and it's not working out. It's not. We haven't got it cranking to the extent we have our Facebook advertising yet. But it may just, you know, be about the art and science of it. You know, how to make that work. Okay, so then you got to look at. Okay, so advertising on Facebook absolutely makes sense, but how do we do it? So most people use a thing called the Facebook Ads Manager. So if you go like facebook.com/ads/manage, that's the main Facebook Ads Manager. I'm going to show you a demo of how to use that, like I'll just with some screenshots, but I'll show you a demo of how to use it. And then it's great because it's quick and easy to get going with, but it's not really your end solution. If you're going to do a lot of advertising in this space, then you want to learn how to use the Facebook Power Editor. You've got to install the Chrome browser, which is from Google, and then you can, within Facebook Ads Manager, you can click on Power Editor. And what it does is you kind of work in a bit of an offline mode, you know, on your computer, and then you upload your ads and that, but it allows you to do bigger ads, more text, it allows you to do more granular targeting. You've got more functionality and features with it. So Facebook Ads Manager and then Facebook Power Editor. I'd say start with Ads Manager if you're just getting started, but if you're getting more advanced and you're starting to get some good runs on the board, then I'd change over and I'd use Power Editor. This is certainly, you know, the way that that we advertise with it. Facebook, they changed their ad structure, so I'm just still giving you a high level, you know, fundamentals and theory, so we're all on the same page, and then we'll get into some stuff. So they changed the way that their ad structure works. You've still got a campaign, and then like they copied off Google, where you've now got a thing called ad sets, and ad sets are just logical chunks of ads. So you say, for example, you were running a national campaign, but you thought New South Wales might be more responsive than your Queensland people, you know, that kind of thing. You might have an ad set that is just targeting your exact target market in New South Wales, and then you might click a button and clone it and then target, you know, the exact same people but change New South Wales to Queensland. So you can easily see, you know, this is how our New South Wales people performed, this is how our Queensland campaign performed. Or the other thing is you might want to target two completely different audiences. So that might be another way of doing it. So you could still be running it all in New South Wales, but, you know, clone it, have one that's targeting, you know, people that are interested in business ownership and small business owner and that kind of stuff, and then click a button and clone it and create another one which is targeting people who are interested in, you know, motivational speakers and people like Tony Robbins and Jim Rowan and that kind of stuff, and test out different markets. Because with all advertising, really, sometimes it's very, very close between a winner and a loser. They say that there's a saying in advertising that the enemy of ROI, so the enemy of return on investment, is waste. So you've just really got to figure out sometimes what the waste is and cut out that waste. And that can be the only difference between, you know, a winning campaign and a losing campaign. But often people will put up something, didn't work, and then, you know, get rid of it rather than troubleshoot and figure out, you know, why it didn't work. And one of the things we've learned from going off on a bit of a tangent, we worked with a lot of business owners now. Another thing that we've learned is, you know, all marketing, it's just a test, you know. So take the emotion completely out of it. So we meet a lot of business owners where they do a campaign, and if it doesn't work, it's like an emotional roller coaster for them. They're all of a sudden they're upset and they're spewing and they're, who can we blame for this? You know, this advertising campaign didn't work. And our approach to that is, okay, well, no problems, you know. So run the winners long, cut the losers short, okay. So if that marketing campaign didn't work, there's nothing to be emotionally upset about. All it is we got feedback from the market that they didn't respond to that. So let's quickly can it. What's our next experiment? What's our next test going to do? So can you see how it's two completely different approaches from, you know, to, okay, what did we learn from it? Cool. Well, how do we move on? And that second approach will get you much, much further, you know, in approaching things as a professional. And we spoke about perpetual motion before, you know, and not just we're running a campaign for a month and then turning it off, and running a campaign for a month and turning it off. All these big ad platforms like Google and Facebook and that, they all prefer you to have a continual spend than to be a spasmodic, because all professionals have a continual type spend. Even if it's only little, even if all you're spending is, you know, 8, 10, 12 bucks a day, that kind of thing, you're better off to just, you know, keep things running. And ads, within an ad set, you've got multiple ads. I'll show you when we get into images why you need multiple ads. You don't want to ever just have one ad, because one ad can be a dog, and you could rule off a whole campaign, but it was really, you know, just about a different ad. Okay, so then Facebook, you know, while it started off very, very simple, it's now become like Google AdWords. It's getting, you know, more and more complicated. So now they've got all these different types of ad units, okay? So you've got to think about, well, you know, if we look on this list, what is there? Like nearly 15 of them. But how many of them do we really need to focus on? And the reality is there's probably only a couple. The main one you're going to use is clicks to website. So that's saying if someone clicks on this ad, send them over to my website, and then they may charge you every time, you know, someone clicks, that kind of thing. There's another one there which is website conversions. Okay, so website conversions is, if you've got a high performing landing page, like for example my Facebook ad swipe file one, it converts at 42% day in, day out. That's the sort of one you'd use website conversions for. And basically Facebook's going to go out based on its data. Remember we spoke about it's an artificial intelligence engine, it's always learning. It's going to go out and it's going to start showing traffic to people that it knows has a propensity to opt in and take action on stuff. So that's how that works. So other ones that are really, really important here, local awareness can be good. Who has a physical shop or a physical, you know, type premises? Anyway, a couple of people? Yeah, so that Facebook local awareness is really, really good in that space. You can state, this is our type of business, this is our exact address, and then we want to show ads to people. Think of it like TV advertising, but we want to show ads to people just in our local area, you know, within an 8K radius or something like that. And this one works out so, so cheap. So we're doing it for a gym in Glenelg in South Australia at the moment. And our previous, you know, we do video view ads, which I'm going to show you later, are 3 cents. And these are cheaper than that, you know, to show your ad to someone. There's a little bit of a trick to it. When you first set it up, they are sending people to your Facebook page. But once you've got the ad approved, you can then go in, remember I said with Power Editor, you've got more control. So you get your ad approved and then you go into Power Editor and then you change the URL instead of it being your Facebook page to be the URL of your website. And then you're sending, you've got this visibility, like showing your ads to your exact target market in your local region for like 0.003 cents, you know, that kind of thing. So this is a pretty advanced hack. But if you're doing a local business, then that one can work well. Hey, Stephen, you know one thing I was thinking on that one, and it'd be great if you and I hook up. We can put it in the. you're a beautiful man. There's no doubt in it. No, because that one's a little bit complicated. There's two steps to it, but a lot of people would benefit from it. So I can show you the second step of it, and I think you guys could document it, you know, and put it in the academy. I think that would be a good way that we could do that. Yeah. Yeah, because if you're doing any kind of local business, that's like a black belt ninja type level. Setting it up the first way actually isn't very effective, the way they've designed it to work, because you're only sending people to your fan page. But if you can then, for that really, really cheap, send them to your web page, it's just working amazing. You're welcome. All right, so other types of ad units, video views, I'm going to show you that later on, and we'll go in detail in that. That's pretty, you know, very, very sexy way of advertising. And Facebook, they've just brought out this new ad unit called lead generation. And what it is it actually puts a button on the Facebook ad, you know, where they can opt in directly on there without going off onto the website. But it sounds more exciting than it is, because it's a little bit of a dog at the moment. It doesn't automatically put them off into your autoresponder, you know, your email autoresponder. It puts them into a spreadsheet, and then you've got to sort of export them and bring them over. So that's why I didn't really worry about teaching that today, because it's kind of, you know, a little bit clunky. But one of the key things on this, and we spoke about, you know, how to run campaigns, is that you always need multiple ads, because you can have the same ad with six different images. So like in this case, this is the exact same ad, but here these four, they're all working out, you know, 83 cents, 90 cents a click, 74 cents a click, 55 cents a click. But the same ad with the images duplicated, these bottom three, like this one's $1.07 a click, this one's $1.55 a click, this one's $2.22 a click. And the only thing that's changed is the image. But if all I ran was just one version of it and it happened to be one of these, then I would have been saying, you know, oh, this is rubbish. It's really, really not working. Does that make sense? So we always want to, and the quickest, easiest thing to do is write one good ad and clone the images. And I'm going to show you how to do that as well. So that pretty much covers our fundamentals section. Anyone got any questions on the fundamentals before we move into, you know, images and creating ads? Sorry.
That you, like from the ad, you can send the traffic to the Facebook page. But I have seen a lot of ads, they actually take you to a landing page or their website directly, or to download the,
yes,
you know, the opt-in or,
yeah. Yeah, that's obviously the preference. But with that, and that's how most of them work, but with that one individual ad unit type of the local awareness ads, by default, they set it up so that it goes to your Facebook fan page. It's just that one type of ad.
Just for the local.
Yeah, for the local awareness ones.
Oh, right, okay.
But you can fix it so that it goes to your website. Because straight out of the bat, we were really excited about it, local awareness ads. We thought, oh, this is great. And then It's like, well, it's only sending people to our fan page. And it was like, well, no one's getting a return on investment, you know, on that. And then we realized, oh, hang on a second, what happens if we pull this, you know, use the power editor, change it to our web address, bingo, same ad cost, but we're sending people to, you know, yeah, you might be sending thousands of people to your website and it's only costing you a couple bucks sort of thing. So
right. I thought it was like for all the
All the ads, you can send them to whatever web address you want. Yep. But Facebook, they really want to see a combination of useful content as well as just offers. So it's going to get to the point where you can't just be sending people to a landing page all the time. Facebook is like Google now with like a quality score type thing. So they want to see that you're giving good value to the marketplace, not just always, you know, asking and not just always doing offers. So we've always got a combination of, you know, good content running. Again, low cost, but good content running. And I'm going to show you how we do that. And then we've also got offers where we're asking people to come across, you know, to our landing pages and to opt in and that kind of thing. So let's get into Facebook ads, you know, and we're going to show you our secret images weapon. And you guys may or may not already know about this. And I generally find about one quarter of, you know, switched on business owners know about this now. With designing any kind of advertising, in the old model, if you have to send it off to a graphic designer, you know, there's a cost associated with it. It might take a week to get it back, that kind of thing. But you do need a professional look and feel, so how do you do it? And this is how we do it, you know, much, much faster. We spoke about that the most important part of any Facebook ad is the image, okay? So that's the bit that's going to catch their attention. So what about in here, just call it out. What do you think is the most effective ad on this page? What's that one? The one with the lady? Okay. What about anyone else? The dog? Okay, the dog. Anyone else? Hard to see? Sorry. The one with the muscles, which is up the top, left, is actually I think the lighting's better from the back, like as far as the detail, unfortunately. Yep. The one with the muscles is performing the best. That's been our most successful ad in this space. So it really just caught attention. It stood out. You'll notice with these images, what I'm doing is I'm making them all interesting, like, you know, that super teddy looking at the thing, or the woman with the, you know, she's got the Facebook ad swipe file, you know, on her hand, you know, the dog with it, that kind of thing. We're incorporating interesting images in with what we're giving away. So we're not just putting up, you know, a blank sheet of canvas with our, you know, what we're giving away. So you've got to make, you've got to make it interesting. Actually, the dog here performed the worst. And the reason why wasn't because it wasn't interesting. It's definitely interesting. It was because it got banned. That ad got banned by Facebook. So then I spoke to an account rep there, and I said to him, you know, what is it? Are you guys, discriminating against Mexican dogs now? And he's going, no, Mr. Casa, you know, we're very dog friendly here. We're very pro-dog at Facebook, and dogs of all nationality and breeds. I said, okay, well, what is it then? And he goes, your dog is drunk, Mr. Casa. And I was like, okay, cool. So then the learning from that is you're not allowed to use, you know, drunk dogs, but especially drunk Mexican dogs. So then I said to him, you know, well, what about this image then? You know, what do I do with that? Which is a monkey with a spliff. He said, definitely don't run that one. But we've do a lot of money for charity, and we've chipped in, and we've got this monkey some help because we didn't want it. I hate it when you see a good monkey let himself slide like this fella. So how out of shape can that monkey be? I think he's got the worst body shape of a monkey I've ever seen. He just let himself slide so far, but he doesn't really care. You click that image on Facebook or on the web, and it takes you over to this poll on a thing called Soda Head, and it's like saying, you know, does your monkey smoke? And then there's all people answering about polls about all the bad behavior things that their monkeys do. So it's like, who's got this much time to hang out on monkey misbehavior forums, you know, that kind of thing? Yeah. Has anyone traveled? I'll come back to that in a sec. Has anyone traveled Africa much? Has spent much time in Africa? Yeah. There's a place called Candy Beach in Lake Malawi, in the country of Malawi. And when we were there, it's one of those amazing places where it's like the ocean, but it's actually a massive, massive lake. And it's got surf because it's so big, but it's actually a lake. So you're in the surf, but when you get out, you still feel, you know, it doesn't feel like you've been in the salt water sort of thing because, you're not sticky at all. It's amazing. But then from the sand goes up and there's all these bars and that right across there. It may be developed now, I don't know. But when I was there, when I was there, it wasn't developed at all. So then, you know, the bar, you know, the floor of it's all sand and that kind of stuff. But as you drink in there, you've got to have your hand over the top of your drink like this constantly because there's this monkey there and he comes along and he might be sitting in the rafters and then he can see, you know, you're drunk and not paying any attention. And before you know it, he's down there and he's using his hands and he's drinking from the, he's drinking from your beer like this with his hands. So there actually is monkeys out there that are, you know, behave like this. So maybe that's why these kind of forums come about. Long way of saying anyway, don't use, drunk dogs in your Facebook ads. So when you create these images, you need them to be 1,200 pixels wide by 628 pixels high. If you don't use this size image, it can be off by one or two, but if you don't use this size image, what will happen is sometimes Facebook will just put down like an icon, a little version of your image, and it really, really doesn't look amazing. So you need to be using, you know, the right size image. There's a whole bunch of different resources on there. I think this is probably too small and too much detail, but I put it in for, you know, if anyone's watching back on the video or whatever and you want to see other ad sizes. But really that one's the main thing you need to know, just 1200 by 628. That's really, you know, what you need to know. The other thing that's important about Facebook images is you're only allowed to have 20% text. Okay, so if it's any more than 20%, then it won't get approved. When you send your ads off for review, they actually go off to a robot first, and the robot analyzes things about how much text there is on the image and that kind of stuff, and whether or not it meets main rules. And then it may get flagged and go off for like a real human to review your ads. How's that the age we live in, that a robot will approve whether or not your advertising can, you know, can run or not? That's the world we live in, isn't it? So you can't have more than 20%. So some of those images that I showed you before actually probably wouldn't pass anymore. Like this one's running and it's a machine, so I don't touch it because sometimes the product image as well, they can see that as writing on it. And sometimes they don't, so you just got to be a little bit careful with that. Okay, yeah, so before the secret weapon that we use now to do our images, you had to send it off to a graphic designer. It was costly and it was slow. And now with the secret weapon, you know, you can do it yourself and it's much, much quicker. So that's, my head on a woman's body, which is probably not really that pretty. Okay, yeah, so the secret weapon we use is Canva. So who here uses Canva? Okay, so maybe a quarter. So anyone who doesn't, you know, Canva.com is just a big, big game changer. I'd say this is in my top five most important tools I use these days all the time, Canva.com. Because what it allows you to do, it's free, and you can choose templates that have already been designed by a graphic designer, and then you just basically change your images and change their text and to be yours. And so you can get something that looks pretty damn good, looks like it's been designed by a designer, but you did it yourself. And you know, I have no design skills whatsoever, so it really, really works. You don't even need to create an account. You can just go there, click and go, log in with Facebook, and boom, it'll create an account for you, and yeah, off you go. I use the premium version, which is about $10 a month. The only reason why is so that I can resize things. That's the only real advantage that it gives you. But the free one works just fine. Yes, hello? Yeah, so Canva, it's a great point. For DL flyers, any of that kind of stuff, ebook covers, it's A4 stuff. It's even got magazine templates in there now, so you can pull together, you know, like pages of a magazine. Yeah, so any of that kind of stuff, brilliant for that. So let's look at Canva and Facebook ads, sort of like a step-by-step example how we would make this happen. Okay, so in this hypothetical example, We're going to assume that we've got a blog post. Our blog post is, are you getting a good deal on your home loan or could you switch and save thousands? The reason why we have this example was because yesterday I was talking with mortgage brokers. So that's why I thought we'll just reuse the same example rather than make a new one. Okay, so we go to canva.com, C-A-N-V-A, .com. And then it's got all these different types of ad units, so all these different types of images we can create. And we're going to choose, the one that says, we're going to create a Facebook ad. So we're going to do that. Then once it goes up, you can see now it's got all these different themes or templates, over on the left-hand side. So you just scroll down and find, one that you want. And then, from here, you could just drag that in there like that. And then you can click upload your own images because, obviously, in this case, I need more of an image of a house than I do an image of a lighthouse. So I drag that over there, click upload my own image, and then drag that in. And now I've already started to change it to look and feel a bit more like a, residential mortgage type thing. Next thing you'd want to do is just click on their text and just start, changing the text so that the text matches up with, what your ad is and try and keep it. So see how I'm trying to keep it in that top quarter so that I'm getting within that, the 20%. And then once you've got one ad, remember, did we speak about, are we just going to create one ad image or are we going to create multiple? Multiple, yeah. So actually, I've cut it. You can't see it on the screenshot, but off to the right over here a little bit, there's an image there, and it just says, duplicate or copy. You'd click that, and then just basically you can, choose, add another image in and change it around so that you want to end up with like six of these for doing your Facebook ad. We found six works great. And so it's just really, really quick. Design something once, go copy, change a new, put a new image, copy, put a new image in until we've got six. And then you click download and save those six images. Now we'll go over to Facebook and we'll go facebook.com/ads/manage. And this is how the more basic version of how to advertise on Facebook. So we're going to go create an ad and we're going to send people to our website. That's what we're going to choose here as our objective. We don't not worry about the conversions one or whatever. This is the main one that we would do. And then it would say, what's a web address? So here I've just put collective.com.au, which is my main web address, but it wouldn't, because I don't actually have that blog post, it would normally be, slash, you get a deal, better deal on your home loan, that kind of thing. So you'd put in the full thing. You wouldn't be sending people to your homepage like that. This is just, just an example. So once you've chosen, where you're going to send them to, then you've got to decide, okay, who's our targeting? So who's our exact perfect audience that we want to show this ad to? So is it, in this example, it's, people between the ages of 35 and 55 who live within Parramatta and a 20K around it. Often if you're doing a service, you can advertise everywhere, but, you'll get a better bang for your buck if you focus on your own geographical area, that kind of thing. It'll tell you how many people it's going to reach. The smallest you'd ever want to set it up for is like 20,000 or something like that. But if you can make it so that it's going to show to 300,000 or 400,000 or 500,000 people, your ad won't get what we call fatigue. It won't. The same people won't have seen your ad over and over and over again, and they're going, why am I seeing this over and over and over again? So you're better off to show your ad to hundreds of thousands of people if possible, and also you'll get cheaper ad costs as a result of doing that. It's just the way that it'll work out. And then you'd need to choose, whether there was any interest. So are they, a business owner? Are they interested in, equine studies or whatever it is that they're interested in? And you'd set a budget. How much do you want to spend on this a day? $5 a day, $10 a day, $50, $100, whatever that you want to spend. And it'll show you, what your potential reach is. So in this case, I'm saying show it to people as well who are married, okay? Because if they're married, they're more likely to have a mortgage than if they're not married. So that's why I did that in this. So you can really get into, that kind of stuff. If you do anything with babies, and you can target when people say that they're pregnant or when people are about to get married and all these different stages through their lives. So you can get really, really clever with that stuff. Then we're going to say, we're going to have a single image. So we're going to upload, we're going to do an ad with just a single image in there, but we're going to duplicate it. So we now see here it's saying add up to six images. In this example, I've only put two because we only created two a minute ago, but that we'd have six so that we can figure out, what works. Then we're going to put in some text above it, you know, so some benefit-ridden text. We've got our image in. We've got our headline. So, and then you're trying to make it benefit-ridden. So, like here, the headlines, you know, save on your home loan, ? And then, you know, see how thousands in Sydney are saving up to $784 every month by switching to a better rate, you know, that kind of thing. And then getting, there's a button there for learn more so they can go across and, you know, learn more. So that's how that ad looks. But then if we, obviously when we've got the other one in, it looks completely different ad. So that's the idea with that. So then you've got multiple ads. And then it's basically, you know, you just go place order. And that's when we spoke about it. It'll go off to the robot to review, and you may end up with a human to review it as well. Facebook doesn't have amazing support at the moment. If your ads get disapproved and that kind of stuff, they're not great at that. Okay, so then our ads go off for review. And we spoke about before, if you want more control, yeah, you would use the Power Editor. No, it's fine. So the question's really about whether or not it's good to have the people's faces in the image and have them looking at you. So I think that's even better. And ideally, you know, so say for example, if I was giving away this as my thing, if you can have the image of the person, you know, even looking at it or pointing at it or whatever, but maybe even just looking at it so that your eyes are drawn, then that's even better again. So you're 100% spot on. Yeah, good question. The text on the product can count, and sometimes it doesn't, and it really depends on how big the text is. If the text is like that from here, it can't be read. But if it was big writing on it, then they would say yes. Yeah, so it does count towards your 20% often. All right, cool. All right, so that really shows like the basics, the fundamentals of creating an ad. All right, so next we might get into some of like some more advanced strategies. So this is talking about what we spoke a little bit about before with remarketing. So remarketing is pretty much the best return on investment advertising you can do, as far as if you only want to put, you know, $5 a day into this, it can work, you know, it can work great. You might not even use your full $5 a day if you don't have traffic volumes. So what we're talking about here is people who've hit our website, and now they hit our website, but they didn't reach the, you know, the inquiry thanks page or whatever. Now let them start seeing our ads as they navigate around Facebook. Because if you think back sort of 4 or 5 years ago, if someone hit your website, unless they bought or unless they inquired and gave you their details, they were potentially lost to you. There was nothing you could do, you know, to contact them again. But now with remarketing, you can get this bit of code from Google, you get this bit of code from Facebook, you put it on your website, and then you just, it gets called an audience, and then so it might be, you know, collective.com.au, website visitors last 30 days or last 7 days, you define what it is, and then you say, okay, now I want to advertise, but instead of advertising to people in this town who are interested in that, and between this age and that, you're saying, okay, this time I want to advertise to people who are in the audience, collective.com.au, website visitors last 30 days. So yeah, that's basically how it works. And you know how we were talking about, as Stephen was talking about, you know, the big action items, things to take away. Out of the stuff that I'm going to teach you, if you don't have this on, this is really, really a big, big nugget to, you know, implement Facebook remarketing. Yeah, so basically how it works in the simplest form, if you're not sure how to do it, one great thing is YouTube, with like Facebook remarketing tutorial, type that into YouTube and it could show you like this in a little bit more detail. That could work. But yeah, you get a bit of code from Facebook, your web developer puts it on the site, and then it starts to build an audience for you of people that visited your website. Because here's the thing. We call this the 95% rule, meaning that everything you want people to do online, 95% of them won't do it. Okay, so whether it's filling your inquiry form, whether it's buy your product, whether it's, you know, whatever. So we could do what most people do and go, oh, well, you know, we got 5% of them. Or we can be smarter than that and say, you know what? We know in advance that 95% of people aren't going to do what we want them to do. So why don't we plan for that contingency? So they might need multiple touches with you before they're ready to buy, but it's not always about showing them ads for the offer again. It might be showing them ads for other great pieces of content that take them further down the journey. So, because ideally you want them to know you, like you, ideally, you know, love you, trust you, and want to do business with you. So anything you can do to architect that process, you do that. And we do this via Facebook remarketing, and we also do it with email as well. So everyone's always focused on, you know, we've got to build a list. We've got to build an email list, which is crucially, you know, crucially important. And if you're not focused on that, then, you know, that's something you really, really need to look at. But this is talking about building a big list of cookies. So, which is just basically, we're just building an invisible list, effectively, of people who have visited our website. We can't actually see their names and emails and that kind of stuff, but it's a list of people inside Facebook that Facebook says, those are the 20,000 people who've been to your website in the last month, and now we're going to, you know, show stuff to them. So we're trying to, you know, we've got to build this list. And then it's going to anonymously follow them around, meaning that we don't know who those people are, but we're going to anonymously follow them around. So this is kind of how it works. Potential customer, they visit your website, they leave without checking out, and later they surf the web, or in this case Facebook, and then they see your ad, and ideally they go back to your site, you know, and buy again. So that's effectively the process, you know, for how it works. Here's an example from one of our clients, Active Creatures. What I really love about this type of remarketing is it's both branding and direct response. So direct response means, you know, getting them to take an action, but branding means you're putting your logo and your marketing message and that kind of stuff out and about and in front of them, because they might need, you know, multiple touches with them. We sometimes use strategies like what we call a tripwire, where if they hit the main website and they didn't buy, then we might give them a free plus shipping offer and that kind of thing. Have you guys heard me talk about tripwire before and give an example of that? Yeah, one? Okay, geez. I'll give you an example from one of my coaches in the US, Perry Belcher. So this is going off on a... Do you mind if I go off on a bit of a tangent? Wanda? Yeah, okay. Okay, cool. Thank you. Got the green light from the boss, so we're all good. So a tripwire is just a concept which is an irresistible, no-brainer offer. So when the client comes across, a potential client comes across it, they're like, oh, that makes perfect sense. I've got to do that. So my coach, one of my coaches in the US, Perry Belcher, he lives in Millionaire Mile in Austin, Texas. Okay, so it's sort of like six streets of amazing, amazing houses and you know, all right beside each other. Perry's there on Saturday afternoon, he's sitting down and he's watching the game of footy, and his wife comes over and she says, Perry, there's a man here and he wants to mow the lawn for $5. And Perry's thinking, well, our standard mow is 42. He says, what do you think? She goes, it seems all right to me. He goes, okay, yeah, let's let the man mow the lawn for $5. So the guy goes out, does the lawn. He does a great job on it, which is important, you know, with the tripwire. You've got to do a great job on it. Comes back and he sees Perry's wife again and he hands her a fridge magnet and a voucher that says, you know, second mows, $10. Okay, so all good. Another month goes by, or a couple of weeks, whatever, and then they've got to get the lawn mowed, so they may as well use the $10 guy. Grabs a fridge magnet, rings him, does that. Then the same thing happens again for the next process. Well, he says, oh, we've got a special at the moment, third mows are $20, that kind of thing. And he ended up stepping them up to nearly the $40 anyway where they are. So what was really smart about that was they acquired the customer, okay? So that guy acquired the customer. You know, if you're doing that kind of job, if you're traveling all over the city, that's got a cost associated with it. So do you think Perry was the only guy in Millionaire Mile that got the $5 voucher? Does that make sense? Okay, so he acquired all those customers right beside each other. Okay, but that's not even the smart bit yet. Perry went on to spend 26 grand with the guy. You might be thinking, how's that? And here's the thing. He's not a lawnmower. He's a landscape gardener. Does that make sense? So he acquired the customer with an irresistible low-brainer offer, created a relationship, and then just through conversation then said, you know, down the back, that's good, but have you guys thought about, you know, raising that and we can make that whole back area flat and, you know, be much more usable, and then what about if we... And they were like, oh, okay, well, yeah, do you do that? And he goes, yeah, we can do that. And do you mind if I draw you up a thing and run it by you? And yep, cool. Did it. Perry's got lots of cash. Was happy with it. Boom. So did it. And do you think Perry would have been the only guy in Millionaire Mile in Austin, Texas that did that? No. So I live in, at the moment, I'm in Austin Mere. So which is quite a nice suburb, and I told that idea to a landscape gardener of mine, a mate of mine, thinking that he would think it was the best thing since sliced bread, and he said to me, "I'm not mowing anyone's freaking lawn for $5." That was what he said, and I was like, "Are you hearing the same story as me? You know what's going on? It's not about mowing the man's freaking lawn for $5. It's about acquiring the customer and then doing more work for them." So, yeah. So it does show the right message for the right person at the right time. Because often you'll meet people and they say that there's no opportunity out there. But like, that was an opportunity, but didn't see it. You know what I mean? So completely in front of you. So I think we definitely create our own opportunities. So long way of saying that's like a tripwire. So here in this case, if they went to the e-commerce store but they didn't buy, then we might send them off to start remarketing them saying, "Here, why don't you grab a free singlet? You know, it's free plus shipping, and then it's free plus $4.95 shipping, and then on the next page there's an upsell and that kind of thing, and we get the money back." But it's a very, very smart way of acquiring a customer. We're working with a customer in the jewelry space at the moment, and that whole tripwire thing, we've like completely revolutionized her business. Because she was selling sort of $30 and $40 widgets, you know, earrings, necklaces, that kind of thing. By the time she bought traffic from Google and other places, it kind of wasn't really working anymore. You could spend $30 to make $30 sort of thing, and there's no real profit in that. Now we've changed the whole model to putting all this advertising budget towards free plus shipping, you know, red stud earrings, and then on the next page saying, you know, "Do you want to grab a second pair, or you want to grab a second pair for $9? And then do you want to grab the matching necklace, and what about a matching set for your best friend?" You know, that kind of thing. And so we're stepping up all these orders. But what we're actually doing there is building a list of buyers so that her list gets bigger and bigger. And then as she's doing her, you know, monthly marketing campaigns out, you know, we've got more and more power and more oomph. So one of the things we like to think about, you know, with this octopus, with this remarketing, is we like to try and be like an octopus. And if you think about an octopus, they've got limbs that can go out all over the place so they can see you, you know, everywhere. So basically how you think about it is, you know, with your website now, what are the primary courses of action that you wanted people to take? You know, whether it was to fill in an inquiry form or to grab your free report or your free video series or whatever it is. What were those primary courses of action? And then now, if they've hit your website and they haven't taken any action, as they start to navigate around the web, how do we now put remarketing out so that they start to see the calls to action, you know, for all those things? It used to be called tentacle remarketing, but then I did like the Freudian slip thing and called it testicle remarketing when I was on stage, and because they'd like shaped like testicles as well, the like my schematic, so that's why it's now octopus remarketing instead of tentacle remarketing. So here we're basically saying, yeah, and I've warned Stephen in advance. I said there's a whole bunch more politically correct digital marketing coaches out there than me, but he said, "Oh, come along anyway. You'll be fine," sort of thing. So, yeah, and he asked me to bring my B game, and that's what I'm doing, mate. I'm doing that. So, So here we're saying, you know, if they hit the collective website, you know, then show them our remarketing for the free DVDs, for the summit tickets, for the Facebook swipe file, for the double leads, that kind of thing. You know, if they hit the collective but they didn't inquire, then show them, you know, an ad for the, "Do you want to get a strategic consult," that kind of thing. So you can really step people, you know, through your sales process. You can be very granular with it. You can say, show people who hit this part of the website but who didn't hit that part of the website. So you can really, really step people, you know, through your sales process. Very, 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 very cool. And here's an example of, you know, one of those sorts of ads. So, it just works amazing. So, like I said, you can literally spend, I've got mine set at $4 a day and just constantly spits out leads and constantly, you know, nurtures people for you. So, I mean, we spoke about the 95% rule. So, with your website now, I guess you really got to think about What is it the, maybe even, have you got any thinking music? We'll just do 1 minute. What is it that you want people to do on your website that then, and that we know that 95% of them aren't taking? What's those actions? And then, so would it be 1, 2, 3 things? You feel free to ask questions if you want. We'll go, you got 1 minute, see if you can plan something out. What are they, what do you want them to do on your website that they're not doing? And can we add remarketing to make that happen? Did anyone have an example of something they could think of that people weren't doing on their website that then they started to follow them around with an ad? So started sending them back to good content on the blog. Yeah, excellent. Nurturing them through that process. That's excellent. And I'll show you a really smart way of doing that really, really cheaply in a bit as well. So here's an example in the e-commerce space. Okay, so people are hitting this website, which is musocity.com.au. So which is a nice modern e-commerce store that we help with design. So we're creating an audience here that says if they hit the cart page, but they didn't get to the checkout success page, so meaning they didn't get the whole way through, and they did that in the last 7 days, then let's call it an audience of Muso City cart abandoners in the last 7 days. So we're not even, see how we're getting more granular now? We're not even just saying everyone in the last 7 days. We're now saying people who abandoned the cart in the last 7 days. So do you think those people are worth spending $5 a day on? People who've abandoned your cart. We do a lot of stuff in the conversion optimization space, and we're lucky we get to work with some big businesses. We found out that with conversion optimization, the closer you can optimize towards the checkout, towards the end of the process, the more bang for a buck it has. Like at the moment, I'm working with a guy, and I asked him just last week or 2 weeks ago, I said to him, do you know how to use Google Analytics to figure out, you know, where people are leaving through your process? And he's going, no, I don't. Would you mind showing me? And I said to him, yeah. So, and I guess to him, you know, if you had to guess, we know what, with Google Analytics, you can see what someone's average transaction's worth, you know, if they're an e-commerce business. So I said to him, if you had to guess, what do you think, you know, your cart abandoners, how much revenue have you lost in the last month for that? And he goes, oh, I don't know, 50 grand at a guess. And then I showed him how to figure it out. And this guy had lost 220 grand of potential revenue of people. This is 220 grand of stuff that had been added to his cart and then left. And that was bigger than his whole, you know, he hadn't done 220 grand, you know, that month sort of thing. So shows you how powerful this can be if you start to, you know, even just pull back 5, 10, you know, 12% of these type things. Okay, so once we've got that audience, so remember we've defined our audience, people who hit the cart, wasn't a success on the thanks, and then we've called it Muso City Cart Abandoners in the last 7 days. And then from here, we're going to create a campaign which is called Muso City, you know, remarketing to cart abandoners in the last 7 days. And we're going to create an advertising campaign, like an ad set, but this time all we're going to do is show it just to people who are in that Muso City cart abandoners in the last 7 days. So we're not going to choose people in this city, people that age, any of that. We're just going to show it to people who have abandoned the cart and then show them an ad. So like here in this ad, we're saying, you know, come back and save 10%. So do you think if you abandoned the cart and you were thinking about it, if you saw that, do you think that might get you to come back? And so then they've got a, you know, then they've got a voucher code where they can, come back and save 10%. And this is, working great. And we also complement it with email cart abandonment as well. So if we've got their email address, we'll be sending them emails at the same time. And then this is how it looks. So you can see an ad up on the right-hand side. That's an example of, you know, come back and save 10%. Limited time, and it says you save, and then it gives them a discount code to use. So yeah, very, very good. The catch we found with that one was we were sending them back to the cart page, and we found out that the cart was set to expire after 3 days. So like we accidentally messed up. So we, in that case, we just needed to change one setting, because if they added, you know, this clicker and this bottle of water to the cart, and then they saw 6 days later that they could go back and get 10%. When they got back to the cart, it had forgotten about what they had. So that's why we had to change one setting. So you just got to think the whole thing through. I'm just sharing with you a mistake we made as well. But alrighty. So now we're going to look at how you can market, you know, market to your own people. with Facebook custom audiences. So custom audiences, you might think, why do I want to market to my own people? Who here's collected a database of, you know, a database of emails that, yeah, so a lot of you have, which is great, whether they might be leads, whether they might be contacts. So you can send emails to those people, and what's great about this is that's traffic you own. That's traffic you can, you know, generate anytime you need to just by sending an email. But email is just one medium, and we know that only 20% of people roughly are opening emails, like opening your email. So if we can get multiple medias happening at the same time, if you're doing a promotion or whatever, then that's going to work better. If you think about Hollywood, when they bring out, you know, a big blockbuster movie, do they do just one medium, like just an ad in the newspaper, or are they also doing a billboard and then, you know, an ad on a bus and then an ad on YouTube, etc.? You see what I mean? They're doing multiple. Hollywood calls it the rule of three, where they're trying to hit you with at least three mediums as quickly as possible. So you may not be able to do the rule of three, but you may be able to at least get two going really quickly. One, you know, one's an email and one is, a Facebook custom audience. So what this is talking about is we've now got our database of our customers. You know, let's export that into a spreadsheet called a CSV file. That's just the name of the type of spreadsheet. And let's upload that into Facebook. And then Facebook goes and looks at those email addresses and it matches them up with its 1.5 billion people. Say you uploaded 1,000 people, it might say, well, we don't know who those 400 are, but these 600 we've definitely got. So you can save that as an audience of, you know, your business name, custom audience, you know, people from our database on this date, you know, that kind of thing. So you can then start to advertise directly to those people. And what we have found is this can end up being some of the most effective advertising you ever do. Everyone always focuses on how do we get more customers, okay? But getting new customers all the time is the most expensive thing you can do. Selling to your existing customers again is far, far more efficient. So like here in this example, so here where we're targeting men in Queensland, we're paying $1.44 a click. Here where we're targeting women in Queensland, we're paying $1.28 a click. And here where we're targeting our custom audience, so people from our database, we're paying 15 cents a click. Does that make sense? Like how dramatically different it was. And the reason why was because it got a whole bunch better click-through rate. It means a lot more people were clicking on the ad because they already knew you, liked you, trust you. And then, you know, they were saying, oh, what, you know, what's Stephen got going? What's that, you know, and checking it out. Yeah, so basically what you're doing is you're getting from your existing database. I've got Infusionsoft. I'm not sure, you might have MailChimp or wherever you've got a database of people. You're exporting that to a spreadsheet called a CSV file. You're then going to get rid of all, you don't need first name, last name, any of that. You just have all their email addresses now. And then you go into Facebook, you know, Ads Manager, and you click on a little button that says Audiences. Okay, and then it'll say, what do you want to do? And you say, I want to create a custom audience. You click that, create a custom audience. It says, okay, cool. Give me a spreadsheet called a CSV file of your people. You upload that, and that's when it does the match and says, out of these 1,000, you know, we know 600 of them, you know, that kind of thing. And then you've named your audience, and then just like what we did with remarketing, instead of choosing how granular we want to say, we just want to say, let's just show this ad just to our audience. These are people who already know us, like us, trust us. And it works really, really great. But, and it definitely does, you know, accelerate your other marketing. So when we do product launches now, we do emails, but we complement it, you know, with this type of marketing. But this isn't really for everyone. Not everyone wants to do it, but I think it's fantastic. To be honest, but I'm very much a marketing geek. You know, I get excited about stuff like that, which people think I'm a bit weird, but man, maybe I am. I'm not sure. Remember we spoke about artificial intelligence engine, okay? Facebook's an artificial intelligence engine, right? So remember they've got 1.5 billion people and they're collecting all those data points about you, like where you are, where you live, who you are, you know, that kind of stuff, right? So they're not just collecting that about you, they're collecting that about everyone else. What about if we now took our audience and say for example, these are our 5,000 buyers, these are our 5,000 customers, and then we went and said, Facebook, go out there and find me people who are exactly like my buyers or who are exactly like my leads. And that's what they do with this thing called lookalike audiences, where it goes and it looks at your existing audience and it says, and it goes out and it finds more that are exactly like it, and then you can advertise to them. This is often one of the quickest, easiest ways to scale. Facebook is, and it's getting smarter and smarter all the time. This thing is very, very accurate. The only little catch to it is, if if they say it's a big, or they can give you, you can either bring you back a big list or a small list. You want to find a smaller list from Facebook because they're more exact, you know, as far as their interests and how old they are, you know, demographics, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Alrighty, what about we give Greg a round of applause?
Thank you.
We're getting into it. Any questions before we go and have a quick break that we just want to review on that? Yeah, Karen.
It's a great thing that you're doing there, you know, run your winners long and cut your losers short. So you're getting feedback from your ads and you're responding to that. I think that's very smart.
What's the reason for the ad? Is there a purpose to the ad? Does it take someone somewhere? Great. Reason I ask that, every time you run a Facebook ad, if you agree, it has to have a reason. Mm. Don't just boost it because you think it's got a pretty image. Because if it doesn't leave someone somewhere, or if you don't have retargeting or remarketing attached to that ad, you're just basically boosting it and people like it and it gives you a nice feeling. I got 50 likes. Great. But it's an ego thing. It's not a real tangible thing that you can capture someone's information or retarget them and communicate with them. Scratch the surface, haven't we?
Yeah, we're going to show you the main way that we drive cold traffic next on Facebook, and then we're going to show you a roadmap of how to think about it. And then from there, we're going to get into the second session. We're talking about step-by-step how to make your website more effective, you know, real things to think about, tangible, and then how to scale stuff with Google traffic.